Right. Glad we're back tonight. We're back in Genesis, chapter 34, I believe it is. My note taker person ain't here to holler at me, so we'll just go with that. But that's okay. She'll have to listen to it on the live wire, won't she? So tonight we're in chapter 34 of Genesis. And I had me a little note here. I don't know how relevant it was, but if Jacob had returned on to Bethel instead of stopping at Shechem. But we know the providence of God puts us where we're supposed to be all the time. But the note just said, if he had just went on to Bethel, that's where the house of God was, that's where his altar was, that's where he was supposed to be headed. Instead, he stopped at Shechem, and then all this takes place. This is just one of the major heartaches, and we know as he goes through life, he has Dinah gets attacked, and then we know that later on that the boys turn on Joseph, and then we know that Judah had a deal with Tamar, and so his struggles with family life just starts growing from here on out, which is what happens when you have family that ain't getting along all the time, and we know that. But the one he wanted didn't get to get to him till after he stayed with the one he didn't want. So there we go. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Now, there's two things on this thing. She went out, first of all, she's got 11 brothers. No sisters. Now, of course, she's got her mother, and then she's got Rachel, and then she's got Zipper and the other lady that could have been leading her and guiding her and directing her, but you know, young girls, they want to see what other young girls are doing and how they're acting. So she probably went out to maybe in a feast time or something. So she says, I'm going to slip out and I'm going to see how the other girls of the land are dressed and how they wear their ornaments and how they do their lifestyle and stuff like that. So she went out to see the daughters of the land. And then there's another scenario, possibly, that Shechem, being he'd been eyeballing her, watching her from a time off, knowing she stayed in tents and stayed all by herself, he might have said, I like her a lot, and we know that's coming up. And he said, I like her a real lot, and I want her, so therefore I'm going to get some of the girls from the town to go out and play close to where her tent is and sort of trick her into coming out, because you know how curious folks is. And so it could have been either she was curious about what the other girls were doing, or that Shechem on purpose started letting some of the girls from around the house and around the land go play near her tent. And as she watched them, she got saying, I wonder what they're doing and what they're up to. And I ain't got no friends. I ain't got no girlfriends. So I'm going to go out there. So he baited her, most likely. Tricked her into coming out. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hittite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. So he was making him a plan. Now it turns out, as the story goes on, that he actually falls in love with her. But the thing is, even being in love, you can't hardly erase what you've already done, so he's got to do some fancy footwork here. But it says, Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hittite, prince of the country, saw her, and he lay with her, and he took her, he defiled her, he ravished her. And not only did he take advantage of her, but he brought her to his house and locked her up there. Kept her away from it. She didn't just get attacked and go back home and crawl on somebody's shoulder. She got attacked and he put her away because he liked her enough that he wanted to keep her. But he had to keep talking nice to her, because if you just attack somebody to get in their good graces, you got to start being doing some good talking. So it says, he attacked her, he defiled her, he messed with her, and his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly to her. Now he had to, because he was trying to make up for what he had already done. First of all, he loved her, which caused, he was kind of like David's son when he slept with his sister, but this after he slept with her, he hated her. But Shechem here, when he slept with Dinah, fell madly in love with her. He wanted her so bad that he couldn't restrain himself, but he loved her so much, he was trying to say, look, I know I shouldn't have forced you, I know I shouldn't have attacked you, but I love you, and I want to marry you, and I want to make this thing right, and I need you to just stay in my tent here, and we're going to see if I can't get my daddy to go see your daddy, and we're going to get this thing all worked out. But don't run back to the house, because I really do love you. I really do want to be with you. I want to be your husband, which is an honorable thing in him to do that in a sort of kind of way. It would have been more honorable if he just went to Jacob to begin with and said, hey, I like your daughter. That would have been the way to have done it. But he didn't. He couldn't contain himself. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor and saying, get me this damsel to wife. In other words, hey, Pop. And he's already got her over here in the house with him probably, so Hamor could see that she's here. And he says, this here's her. I want to marry her. I need you, Dad, to go. First of all, Dad, I need you to bless this thing where it's okay with you. Because it looks like they have to have the permission of the family members and the moms and the dads to make a marriage work in this day and time. So it says, I need you to go see them, Jacob. And I need you to go talk to him and his wife and maybe some of his family members. I need you to get permission and get their blessing that I could marry her. He says, Dad, I need her badly. I want her. I'm in love with her. Go work this thing out. And it says here, and Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. In other words, somebody from the town or somewhere, one of the girls living pretty close by, saw what was going on and had already come and said, Jacob, guess what? You've been missing your daughter lately? You know where she's at? Well, Jacob, I want you to know she's over there at Shechem's house. And he's got her locked up. He's already defiled her. He's already ravished her. He's already done bad things. And now they're going to come talk to you to see about marriage. Jacob, did you know all that? Jacob said, this is the first time I'm hearing about this. But Jacob didn't get mad. Well, he got mad, but he didn't go, first of all, he didn't go, Leah, ain't you supposed to be watching that girl and chewing her out? Where was you at when she was over here getting attacked? And he didn't go talk to the sons and say, where were y'all at when your sister was being attacked? And he didn't get it mean and ugly to Hamor right here because he's biding his time. But right now, Hamor is the king over a whole city here. He's got a little bitty group of 40, 50, 60 people. That's all he's got. So he says here, and I loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, get me the damsel to wife. And Jacob heard this, that Dinah had been defiled, his daughter. Now his sons were with the cattle in the field. Jacob held his peace until they were come. In other words, Jacob didn't act riled up. He's sitting there with Hamor over here, talking to him, having coffee with him, whatever they're doing. The boys are coming in. He sends a message out to them. While they're out there in the field, they're hearing the story about what took place. They're getting angry. They're getting riled up. But Pop's still there, not getting too angry, not showing his hand, not showing his cards. Says, and he had spake peaceably until they were come. In other words, he didn't let Hamor know, hey, you done the wrong thing, partner. You should have never defiled Israel. You should have never went against my family. You should have never done. So he's holding his peace. He's talking peaceable with this man until his sons come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the son, so he's out there and they're at the tent communing. And Jacob's son came out of the field. And when they heard it, and the men were grieved and very wroth because they had wrought folly in Israel in line with Jacob's daughter, which they ought not have done. In other words, these guys, first of all, about four of them were her brothers, actual brothers. So they just got really fired up right off the bat. And then they had this family thing. You're not supposed to do that to our family. That's just not what you do to our family. We got rules, we got regulations, we got standards. You don't just come and take one of our girls and do what you want to and get away with it. So the boys were hot. The boys were fired up, and especially two of them, and we're going to find out in a minute, was Simeon and Levi, because they take things really too far here in a little while. But he says, this is not what you do in Israel. You're not supposed to bring folly in Israel. We're not supposed to bring folly in there. We're not supposed to bring reproach. We're supposed to pray for Israel and bless for Israel and all that. Same thing right here. This is Israel. Don't you know who you just messed with? This is not right now. He's just a little old bitty family, but he's still Israel. The family that God sets up is to be his children, his heritage. So they sitting here, you just defile, first of all, you just defiled God because we belong to him, and you defiled Israel by doing this to Dinah. And Hamer communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you give her to him for a wife. In other words, he says, well, I've come over here. Maybe I should have been back at the house rebuking him. Maybe I shouldn't be back at the house doing this. He might even edge this on. He might say, son, you like her? Go get her. But he says, my son longeth for your daughter. He went beyond longeth. He went too far. He committed an act on her. He says, my son longeth for your daughter, and I pray thee, give her to me to wife. In other words, let's make a deal between you and me. Let's make a deal between your family and my family. How about this? And let's make you marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. Wait a minute. Wasn't Abraham told that when you get a daughter for Isaac, you go over yonder to this other place? Wasn't Isaac told to Jacob to get you a wife, go over this other place? And now here we are back at the place they were told to leave from to go get wives. And here these people are saying, let's make a covenant with you. Let's let your daughters come into our house. And our daughters will go into your house. And we'll make marriages. And we'll have friendship. And we'll all get along. And everything will be all right. In fact, we'll just become one big nation. Hello? God already has a nation. They're fixed to try to contaminate that nation and mess it up. But that like the devil would do something like that? It says here, let's make marriages with us. And your daughters will take ours, and ours will take your daughters. And we shall dwell with us. And the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade therein, and get you possessions therein. In other words, we know that you're good men. We know that you're good hard workers. You just go get you some of our daughters and set you up houses over here and set you up some cattle over here. We know you're honest. We know you're upright. Because see, as of right now, these guys have never done anything bad to these people. They've talked nice to them, walked beside them, never messed with none of them. So they say, these are the most peaceable, gentle, humble folk. We're going to be able to run roughshod over them and get what we want anyways. So they're thinking to themselves, look, we'll let you have your cattle among ours. But you got to think, as they start marrying into this family, pretty soon he says, well, our cattle will be with your cattle and your cattle will be with our cattle. Sooner or later, they'll steal all their cattle by marrying to them. Sooner or later, all of Shechem's people would eventually take over Israel's people because there's just too many of them. All that marrying and remarrying and all that, pretty soon they'd have every bit of their cows, every bit of their heritage, and pretty soon Israel would no longer exist because they would all be married to the Hittites and the Shechemites. And so he says, and we will dwell with us in the land, shall be before thee, and you shall trade therein and get you possessions. And Shechem said unto his father, to her father, and unto her brethren. In other words, talking to Jacob and her brothers, because if you remember back when Rebecca talked to her daddy and her brothers. So he's acting just like they all one big family. So he's going to talk to the whole family here. It says that Shechem said unto her father and unto her brothers, let me find grace in your eyes. And what ye shall say unto me, I will give. In other words, look, I know that I messed up, but I want to make it right. If you don't make it too hard, I want to marry her. I want to make her a legal woman, so to speak. I want to make her right. You, as long as you don't make this where it's too hard, too much money or too whatever that I could give, because back then the guy would give a certain amount of money to the family for the dowry for the wife and then a certain amount for the wife. So he says, look, now I'm a king, right, and I'm wealthy, but don't make this impossible because of what I've done. I do love her. I do care for her. I want to be with her. You set this dowry just right, and I'll be more than happy to do it right. And I'll give it to you. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye shall say unto me, but give me the damsel to wife. I've already got her locked up. You would have thought now he should have brought her back to the house and said, look, we like each other and we want to get married, but she's still locked up back at the house. And he's over here trying to make a deal on how to get her. He wants her very badly, but he don't want to take the chance of them taking her away from him. So he says here, I love her and I want to be with her. And I want her to be my wife. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully. In other words, they had a motive behind what they were fixing to say. They said deceitfully. He says, and said, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. In other words, they had them a scheme going on. They had this already thought out. They see, these guys already knew about circumcision. They had already been circumcised. Of course, they didn't remember. They was 8 days old when they got circumcised. But they had probably seen people who were bought into the family when they got circumcised, and members when they came into the family. And they realized that these members, when they got circumcised, they weren't jumping up and down and running up and down the streets for 2 or 3 days. They were sort of hobbled. So it says here, the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully and said, because you have defiled Dinah their sister. And they said unto them, we cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that we are reproaching us. Now, right now, there is no law says that they could not marry an uncircumcised into an uncircumcised family. Jacob's wives came from a man that was uncircumcised, wasn't circumcised. Leah and Rachel's daddy was not circumcised. Rebekah's daddy was not circumcised. So there was no law that said they couldn't go get a girl from a family that was uncircumcised. They were using this religiosity thing to try to get these guys to fall into their trap, into their deceitfulness. Now, later on, there is a law about circumcision, about every male of the Israelites. But all the Israelites, the children born there and all the slaves who were bought there, they had to be circumcised. But it didn't say nothing about the family of anybody outside of that family. So right now, they're sugar-burgering these people. They say, look, we can't do this. Because you guys are all uncircumcised. Y'all are dirty to us. You need to get circumcised. You need to be fixed up. Now, if you'll go get all your men and all your men children circumcised, then you'll be just like us. Then we can marry your daughters, and you can marry our daughters. And we'll all be one big, happy family. And our cattle will be your cattle, and your cattle will be our cattle, and everything will be okay. They had a motive. We cannot do this, to give our sister to one that's uncircumcised, for that would be a reproach unto us. But in this we will consent to you, if ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised. Then will we give our daughters unto you, and will take your daughters unto us, and we will dwell with you, and will become one people. Now we're talking right here now. Israelite disappears when they become one people. So they know they can't do that. They know that's against the law of God. God has already separated them out for a certain thing and given them promises. And for them to become one people would totally violate the word of God to them. But they says in this trick, in this deceitfulness, if you'll do this, then we'll be just like you guys. And you'll be just like us. We'll be one people. Then somewhere back in the old days, they built this tower and they said, we'll all be one and we'll all do this thing and we'll build this thing all the way up to God. And God said, oh, no. Ain't going to be this one people thing. But if you will not hearken to us to be circumcised, then we will take our daughter. And I'm guessing they're figuring they're going to go to his house and get her. That's the only way I could figure that. We will take our daughter and we will be gone. In other words, there won't be no peace between us, but we're leaving here. We're going to load her up. We will take our daughter and we'll be gone. And the words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. So Shechem, he loves her so much. He said, wait a minute. And it could be the fact that, you know, a little pain for 2 or 3 days is worth a whole lot of money. So instead of having to give her this big old dowry, I'll just be sore for 2 or 3 days and we'll be about our business. So he says he loved this idea. And the young men deferred not to do the thing because he delighted for Jacob's daughter and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. In other words, he had done something terribly, terribly wrong. Now, if any of his other family members had done that, they'd have just done the deed and they'd have went on about their business, throwed her out the back door, been done with it. But he fell in love and he says, look, I got to make this right. So in one sense, he was an honorable man. He kept his word. He tried to do right even after he'd done wrong. He tried to get grace. He tried to get forgiveness. He says, I'll agree to be circumcised. And he says, I'm going to talk to my people and get them to agree also. Because, see, it just wasn't him. He had to get the whole town of men to do this thing. Now, they undoubtedly thought he was a pretty special guy because they're going to go do it. But they understood that this Shechem guy kept his word. And also, you got to figure, when Shechem tells them this in a minute, he's going to talk to them about it. He says, and their cattle will be our cattle. And their stuff will be our stuff. And these guys understood, hey, for a couple of days of pain, over a few years of progress here, we will take everything Jacob's got because we will overdo the marriage and thing and we'll have all the stuff. They were greedy. And this greed cost them. Shechem was greedy. And this thing cost him. Hamer was greedy. Hamer should have straightened out his son and said, look, son, you did wrong. But I will go talk, but I'm not going to go talk. I can use somebody good. I'm going to tell him, my son messed up. I'm going to punish my son. I'm going to do something with my son. But Hamer instead says, okay, son, I see you did something bad, but I'll go talk to him. We'll get it all worked out. It'll be okay. No punishment for Shechem by Hamer. And Hamer and Shechem and his sons came unto the gate of the city and communed with the men of their city, saying, these men are peaceable. They've never done anything bad to us. These men are peaceable with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only herein let the men consent unto us for to dwell with us and to be one people, if the males among us be circumcised, and they as they are circumcised. Shall not their cattle, here's where the greed comes in, shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? So they're looking at this thing, we go through this little bit of pain for 2 or 3 days, and eventually everything they got is ours. So you say providence says you don't get away with being greedy, but shall not all this stuff be ours? Only let us consent unto them and to this to dwell with them. And Hamer and Shechem, his son, hearkened all that went out the gate of the city. So every male, grown up and male child, got circumcised right there at the gate. That's some pretty slick talking. You'd have to talk to me hard for that. But undoubtedly, they said, this man's wise. He's a good boss. He's a good king. If he thinks this, plus that little greedy thing goes on, yeah, this ain't going to hurt but a couple of days, and we'll be over this, and we'll have everything they got. So the greedy thing kicks in, and every male was circumcised. All that went out of the gates of the city, there wasn't none that wasn't circumcised. Then it says, and it came to pass, on the third day. Now, from what I understand about sores and stuff like that, is about the third day, they are very tender. Maybe more tender than the first day. The first day, maybe they're numb from cutting or whatever. But about the third day, the nerves start getting feeling back in them. And if you rub on something with a sore, how it hurts and stuff like that. And this would be something where you wouldn't just jump up and walk around. Your clothes, your breeches, whatever would be rubbing all over you. It says, on the third day, when they were sore, that means it hurt, that two sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, now it just names these two sons, but I'm sure they probably brought some of their servants. They may even have brought some more of the sons with them, but right now I'm saying these two men and maybe their servants come prancing up in there. Now we got this picture. These other guys, what did they say a while ago? These men are peaceable. They're kind. They're gentle. They're sweet. They're humble. Now we've done exactly what they've asked. We've got circumcised. We're not expecting them to come walking through the gate with a sword in their hand. We're expecting them to come check on how y'all feeling. You doing okay? You need some water? Anything's okay? But that's not the way they're coming. See, they in their mindset is these guys would never hurt a fly. They probably don't have nobody on guard. They probably don't have nobody taking care of business. They're all laid out. They're all okay. Oh, that's just two sons of Jacob. They wouldn't hurt nobody. Besides, they already know we're making it. We're doing this for a marriage. We're doing this for everything to be good. Two sons, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came into the city boldly and slew all the males. So they're all laid out around the gate and hereabouts, and they may have had to go all up into the city here and there and get a few of them. But the thing is, most of them are sitting there sore. They're not ready to jump up and fight much. They probably don't even have their weapons are probably laying somewhere else anyways. Here come two men with their swords already out, and they start slicing and dicing. They ain't warning nobody. They ain't hollering and screaming, yelling and getting people. And their servants are probably slicing and dicing right along beside them. And they killed and slew every male and every male child that was in that city. And they boldly did it. And then they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword. And then they took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. So they says, not only are we going to kill these guys, we're making sure we're bringing her back to the house. Now, I got a short sidebar. I should have brought it up way back yonder. Just come to my mind. I'm a little slow sometimes. You remember Joseph's wife? What was her name? Asenath? Joseph's wife, the one from the Egypt? Yeah. Well, supposedly, now you take this with a grain of salt, Dinah got pregnant out of this thing. And they sent the baby into Egypt. And this Asenath, this baby, is supposedly the same girl that was raised up by Pharaoh and became Joseph's daughter. I don't know. I hadn't found it. That's just what some commentator brought into there. And it's possible that would make her a half Israelite. But I don't know for sure. But that's just a sidebar, mind you. Just to keep you on the track. Because God's always working out wives and things here and there, you know. And he slew Hamor and Shechem, the son on the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. And the sons of Jacob came upon the slain. Now the sons of Jacob, now we got the rest of them decided to get in on this thing. We got a bunch of dead guys down there. We got a bunch of stuff down there. We're already in bad trouble already, so let's go ahead and get the spoils. Let's go ahead and get the money. Let's go ahead and get the clothes. Let's make it worth our while. We've done been defiled and made fun of and everything else, so let's get them back all the way. He says, and the sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled not just the dead guys, but the whole city, because they had defiled their sister. So one man defiled one girl, and a whole city pays for it. Whole city. And they took their sheep. Ain't that what they were going to do to him? They were going to steal their sheep because of the way they were going to do this. And they took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field. In other words, they had planned on robbing all of them, and now it turns around, they're robbing all of them. Everything that was in the field and all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives, they took captive. Now it says when they took the little ones, I'm not thinking they're talking about male childs. I really not. Now, the commentators think that the little baby boys were left alive, but I'm thinking they killed the male children with the male adults. When it says they took the little ones, I'm thinking they took the little girls and the women. as usually they did in the war, they killed every male child and they kept the women. It says, and the little ones and their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. So anything that wasn't any good in that house, they run it, spoiled it, and took it. And they took every valuable thing out of the house. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me stink among the inhabitants of the land. Because you guarantee if there's anybody alive to talk, pretty soon everybody around is going to know what happened at Shechem. Everybody around is going to know that two of his sons made an agreement to have peace with these people, made an agreement for a marriage, and while they were all sore and messed up trying to keep their end of the bargain, they came and killed them all. On the other hand, I think the bargain was the other way around, but still, we still know just how it works. Even when Joshua came into the land of Canaan, those other guys came and said, look, be peaceful with us. We've been walking for days and our shoes are wore out and our bread's wore out. They just lived around the mountain over there. And he says, well, we'll make peace with you. He didn't even ask God about that. He just made peace with them. And then after you'd say, well, then they lied to us, we'll be able to change our mind, right? Don't work like that. But here they lied or deceived them, and they killed every one of them. And he says, you have made me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me. Now we know that God's going to protect Israel. He's already told him he's going to take care of it. But Jacob was so worryful. He said, look, you just made it bad. You just hurt us. Now when I go through this land, the Perizzites are going to be looking at us real bad like, and the Canaanites are going to be eyeballing us saying, boy, that's that Jacob's bunch, so you better watch them. We're going to be in trouble with all the inhabitants. They're going to want to figure out a way to kill us. They're going to be wanting to figure out a way to get rid of us. And we're just a few folks. Because you remember when they're going to Egypt, what, there's 70 of them? 69, 70? So we're just a few of us. And so gather themselves against us and slay. And he's not worried about them. That's what he said. Slay me. Y'all going to cause them to slay me. Not the rest of my family, not my wife, but you'll get them to kill me. He was a worrywart. And I shall be destroyed and my house. Now he's worried about the rest of his family. And they said, should he deal with our sister as with a harlot? In other words, he just treated your daughter just like she was a harlot. He just put her up. Now in one sense that's true, because he took her without wedlock and all that. But on the other hand, he loved her so much, he was willing to marry her. So he was trying to get recompense. He was trying to get repentance. But these boys say, you treated her like a harlot. You abused her like a harlot. And you deserve to die like what you are. And he told Jacob what they did. And Jacob kept his mouth shut. And so the next time we meet, God tells Jacob to rise and go to Bethel. If he had just went to Bethel to begin with. But anyways, there we go. But you got to look at them deals when they make them. Because in one sense it says, we're doing a pretty good deal here. In another sense you say, they're trying to steal all our stuff. It turned out the other way around. Brother Keith, would you dismiss us, please?